Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante and with T. Frank Carr, and it's quarter number three. And that means it's time for Ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions. If you want to submit a question, you can download our app from the App Store. Just search on Keystone Sports, or you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question, and the winner will get the great KSN polo shirt. It's so great that T. Frank is wearing his right now. And I got to tell you, T. Frank, you're looking good.
Well, thank you. It's super comfortable. You barely notice you're wearing it, which is the quality of a good shirt. It's super soft. It's super light. And it'll make your traps look good. I'm currently enjoying that right now.
I got to tell you, my traps don't look good no matter what, T. Frank. But that's another conversation for another day. If you're ready, we're going to hit our questions. Let's start with Brian from Hartwell, Georgia. Love having our listeners from out of state. Brian says, what has been the biggest difference between Penn State's recruiting success this year compared to the last couple years? And do you think they'll be able to maintain this pace moving forward?
Well, they literally can't in the class of 2022 for much longer. So they're running out of spots in that class.
I think going forward, he might mean 23 and 24.
So 23 is shaping up already to be a pretty good class with Alex Birchmeier is already committed. He's a four-star guard who I really like. As far as like high-end potential, you know, he's a sophomore, and that's where we saw his film. But you can get pretty carried away with Alex Birchmeier as far as his abilities down the road, because he's already that good. So yes, I think that they can continue that sort of potential. And then the other thing, I think we've covered this a couple times, is they've gotten in some really high level recruiters. Phil Troutwine, again, to mention Alex Birchmeier, he's made a difference along that offensive line where they've had good hits but some misses along the offensive line. And then you've got Taylor Stubblefield, Jawan Sider. John Scott Jr. is doing a great job as the defensive line coach, as a recruiter. Deion Barnes coming in has been a huge assist in the Philly area. Guys really relate to him from what everything I've heard. So the coaching staff, the quality of the recruiters has surpassed what they've been in the past. And they were good in the past. Like, this was a good group in the past. And I think part of it is guys who want to get to the NFL want some sort of proven commodity when it comes to the coaching. Of, yeah, you're a great recruiter, I like you, but I want to get to the three-letter league. Can you get me there? And there's a lot more proven track record with John Scott Jr. and Phil Troutwine of developing first-round picks. Those two in particular are all a highlight, but, you know, just guys that make other people better at football. I think they've got a good blend of those two things. And then another thing James Franklin has talked about is just they didn't use Zoom as much as they had in the past. They hadn't used these things that we picked up during the pandemic. So the ability to communicate with guys on a deeper level who don't live in Pennsylvania or can't get to a state college on it is so very easily, they can have a better connection. They can show more. They can be a part of the organization a little bit more. So all these things add up. And, you know, what will take it over the top, obviously, is winning a Big Ten championship or being very competitive in the Big Ten East.
One of the theories that a lot of people have, T. Frank, that in the last couple of years that perhaps they were casting too wide a net, going too much national and not taking care of their home region. Do you think that's been the case?
I think you should be going national. I don't think you should be... you obviously, yes. The closest talent to home is what you should be going for. But sometimes some of those guys just didn't want to come to Penn State, and there's nothing you can do about that. If Nolan Rucci, for your best efforts, wants to go to Wisconsin to play with his brother, there's not much you can do about that. And they did everything that they could, from what I heard, to get him on campus. And that's one example. A lot of guys from the eastern part of the state have gone down south. and they have gone to Clemson's, Alabama's, the South Carolinas of the world, Georgia. So like some guys just aren't going to come to Penn State. And if those are the only guys in the state that you want, because Penn State is very specific about the physical profiles and the analytics of what they want from players, they're not going to just take every player from Pennsylvania. I think that's a mistake of, we need to get a guy from PA, so we're going to get our sixth preference for the offensive line instead of going to Virginia or going to Delaware, or maybe there's a guy from Oregon that we want, and we're going to go try to get that guy. I think going national gives you the best opportunity, and yes, you're gonna butt heads with some of the better programs, but if you're going to get there, you've got to do that, and you've got to eventually win. But what's the thing about taking shots? You miss all the ones you don't take. So, yeah, cast the widest net possible and make sure you get the guys that will make a difference for your program, and you're going after those guys too.
All right, let's get to our next question, and it's Dave from Pennsburg who says, T. Frank, I feel like running backs and linebackers have the most to gain from the new name, image, and likeness rules. Quarterbacks and other positions might make more money overall, but linebackers and running backs are underappreciated positions in pro football. In college, they seem to be the most admired and fan favorites, even to a point that a player at these positions might fall at the bottom of the draft and might feel better off staying in college for another year and cashing in on the name, image, and likeness in college. What's your opinion of that theory?
It's kind of wishful thinking. I think, so running back in college is a more glamorous position than in the NFL. Sure, yes. But the difference in what you're going to make in name, image, and likeness at even the highest level of, like, you know, the quarterback at Alabama is making $1 million this year is the number, right? That's just the number everyone's talking about. That's the easy translation. If you are an NFL player and you sign a rookie deal, or you're a first-round pick, or, you know, you make it as a running back, that's a multi-million dollar deal. So there's no comparison between the two. If you're not a fourth-round running back, which is where I think you start to get those starters, then you probably aren't the physical talent to play in the NFL and be a star. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's some overlap there, but for the most part, the money is in the NFL. We'll see how it changes over time. We'll see how that changes on the college landscape over time, but the money is still going to be in the NFL, at least in the short term. And for linebackers, I think it's the same thing of kind of like wrestling in Pennsylvania. Everyone here loves linebackers, but I don't think that people all over the country are clamoring for linebackers. They still want quarterbacks, receivers, chicks dig the long ball. Like, you know, those are the guys that are still always going to be the most popular.
I think there's also the situation here, if you have an NFL opportunity, there'll be more money there. I think what name, image...
Yeah, because you can get endorsement deals on the next level, too. Like, you can get regional ones on the next level.
Right. Where name, image, and likeness, I think, will affect players and their decision to go pro, if it's probably not a smart decision to go pro, but it's maybe a desperate decision.
Anyway.
Hey, I can't... Yep. I'm guaranteed to make zero money in college. Let me at least take a chance at the pro. Where you saw this effect was more in college basketball, where there's usually way too many guys declare for the draft who don't make it. And several of them pulled their name back because it's like, you know what? I might be better off playing another year of college. At least in the meantime, I can make some money here in college. Let's go to our next question, T. Frank. Mike in Colorado says, welcome, T. Frank. Love your insights and takes. You got a fan in Colorado there, T. Frank. We discussed the quarterback decision ad nauseum, but it really is the Achilles heel of this team. But what happens to the team if Clifford goes down? What changes do they need to make to accommodate the skills of the backup quarterbacks? Can they win without a serviceable quarterback? Or do we go single wing and wildcat?
Well, I think you saw what happened when they didn't have a competent quarterback last year. That's what they did. Accentuate the skills of Taquan Roberson and Christian Veiu. I'd have to know what they are first. And we've seen absolutely nothing out of either of those guys. So I can't really answer that part other than to say that if they're a limited passer, you're going to be back in the same situation you were in 2020. And then it becomes, how good is your roster? How good is the rest of your team? If you have an elite offensive line and you can hide your quarterback and elite receivers and you can hide your quarterback, great. But, you know, I think Penn State's a very good roster. They have a lot of talent. But they're not at the level they can hide a quarterback and be a 11-win team. Like, you can't be walking around without a quarterback and competing for a Big Ten championship. Like, you have to have a guy that is competent. Ask Wisconsin. Ask Iowa. They've been in that situation for decades where they just don't have a guy that can elevate the rest of the roster. That's what then you become, and do you have an offensive line or, you know, the toughness and the D-line and all those things of an Iowa? And the answer is, I mean, you do have talent, but I don't know that you have the institutional abilities to pivot that quickly. So I you have to have the quarterback. And by the way, if you want to deep dive on what we talked about Christian Hackenberg again, got me. If you want to know what Sean Clifford, an area he needs to improve, I covered that on the BWI Daily Edition yesterday. So a deep dive into the numbers, and I think a very revealing thing about where Sean Clifford needs to get better. That is more of what we can talk about of, you know, what we know about and don't know about at the quarterback position.
Well, just giving us a little bit of a preview of that, what does he need to do to improve, and do you think Mike Yurcich will make a difference there?
Yes. So the big thing is the quality of the deep shots that they took last year versus what Mike Yurcich can do and how his offense schemes those up and how he's more aggressive, which opens up things underneath. And then it becomes, can you get those deep shots, which take longer and put more pressure on your offense and your quarterback? Can you get those things out? And does the offensive line have the ability to get those out of them? And that's really the offensive line, quarterback, can they operate past 2.5 seconds? That's really the question to me.
And I think if you're a Penn State fan, you better hope Sean Clifford improves this year. All right, T. Frank, we got to pick a winner. Your options are Brian from Georgia, Dave from Pennsburg, and Mike from Colorado. Who is our winner?
Let's go with Brian from Georgia. I like the discussion about you know, recruiting and how it's been going and what the reasons are. I like that one.
All right, very good.
I'm not going to crap on any of the talker. I'm not going to crap on anybody today.
It did create a conversation. Brian, we will be getting in contact with you. That is it for quarter number three. And Ask T. Frank, remember to send your questions to him and from our app, and maybe your question will appear next week. Stick around, we got more to go in quarter number four. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.